This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Hey, Diamond Hogs Podcast listeners, Mason Choate here with Robert Stewart. Need to let everybody know that if you want to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is search Hogbeat Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast, and that's where you will find all of the latest Diamond Hogs Podcast episodes. We made the switch, I think last year it was. So if you just search Hogbeat Podcast Network, you will find the podcast. If you search Diamond Hogs Podcast, you're going to get our old stuff back from 2022. So Hogbeat Podcast Network, it's HAWGBEAT.com. Robert.
And also, if you're looking to watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, don't search it on YouTube. Look on hogbeat.com, as Mason just mentioned. You'll find it there. We unlist them. We mark them as unlisted because, ads, revenue, not important stuff. But bottom line is, if you're looking to watch the video version, go to hogbeat.com. The links are always posted there. You will always be able to find them. Again, HAWGBEAT.com.
Yes, Robert had it. That's the key word, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Search it anywhere. When you're getting your podcast, Hogbeat. When you're searching the YouTube, Hogbeat. Just go to Hogbeat and you will find it there, hogbeat.com. That's what it is. That's where you find all of our stuff. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, and I am joined, as always, by Robert Stewart. And we're here to recap Arkansas' series sweep over McNeese State. You're number one Arkansas Razorbacks after the weekend. The Hogs are number one in the nation, according to D1 Baseball, which is the only rankings that matter. Correct, Robert?
I mean, I think so. I mean, if you're going to say any rankings matter, I would go with that poll, yes.
Okay. Well, in that poll, the Arkansas Razorbacks are ranked number one after the weekend, 13-2 on the year. Ended up having to have the doubleheader on Saturday. Won both of them, run rule in the second game, and then you get a run rule in game three on Sunday. It was the offense, the story of the weekend, and it didn't feel like that was going to be the case, honestly, really, until, the bottom of the eighth in game two?
Yeah, for real. I mean, it was, 6-1 in that game going into the bottom of the eighth, and the previous game finished 3-1. Yeah, and it's weird, right? This is the first time we've seen the starters look somewhat vulnerable, maybe. Not that they were bad necessarily, it's just that nobody went past four innings. Hagen Smith striked out nine more dudes in 12 outs, and then Tiger got eight later that day, and then Molina, four runs allowed, no decision in four innings. So it's the first time we saw the starters sort of look human, like all at once together. It's kind of weird, but they're allowed to do that, especially when the bats come to the yard and have your back like that.
Yeah, and just the way that they were able to swing the bat in game three was honestly really, really encouraging. And it needed to happen, especially against a team like McNeese. Like, look, McNeese was a bad baseball team. You can put them close to the level of Grambling and UAPB. Like and I know they had injuries. Some of the guys they threw in game one were impressive, but for the most part, just they played what you call bad baseball. And so luckily Arkansas was able to sweep them. And now the Hogs are ranked number one in the country. And I think rightfully so,
Yeah, I mean, I said a week or two ago, Wake is number one until proven otherwise. It was proven otherwise this weekend, right? Duke gets a series sweep in Winston-Salem. That's where they play. The Hogs went 4-0 this week. So, I win over a top three team, right? Oregon State's number three this week. That remains the Beavers' only loss on the season. Yeah, I mean, and now here we are. Hogs are number one until proven otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get into the weekend, I want to remind you about a couple things that you need to check out. The first thing is hogbeat.com. That is HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm the owner and publisher of that website, and we have a lot of great content, not only Arkansas baseball, but spring football is going on. We're breaking all of it down, a ton of spring football coverage. Whatever is going to happen with this basketball team, we'll see. And we'll be covering it on hogbeat.com. And then also throughout all of baseball season, you're not going to find better Arkansas baseball coverage than at hogbeat.com. And also, we have to remind you about Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen is the official mobile sports gambling partner of hogbeat.com, and it is the mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. So download it wherever you get your apps and check out Bet Saracen, because that's where you're going to get your double R props for the Arkansas baseball games. Can't get them anywhere else. You will not get those prop bets anywhere else. Hypothetically, no bets were placed this weekend in Fayetteville on Arkansas baseball. So, but if you go on Bet Saracen, you can get all those Arkansas baseball bets and get in on the action. Thank you to Bet Saracen. Okay, Robert, you just want to go ahead and start at game one. Are there any other storylines that we need to hit? I mean, Dylan Carter threw. That was awesome.
Peyton Stovall hit.
Peyton Stovall, forgot about. I mean, like, Peyton Stovall, like, literally didn't miss a beat, dude. It was like he's been in the lineup all year.
Yeah, right. Five hits for the junior from Louisiana out of 13 at bats. Drove in five, scored four. I mean, he's got a strong case for weekend MVP. We'll touch on that later, but yeah. Welcome back, Peyton Stovall. Right, that was certainly an encouraging performance from him. It's funny, they made him leg out an infield single on his first at bat, and then, like you said, he sort of just really fell into place. Had the home run in the second game, I believe, and like you said, Dylan Carter as well. Perfect spot for him to come in, low stress spot, 13 run game with two outs to get, got them both on ground balls, I believe, right? No, line outs. Anyway, two outs, right? He got them. So yeah, a couple of very encouraging returns for Stovall and Carter this weekend.
All right, let's go ahead and go to game one. Arkansas wins it. Game one Saturday started at noon because they had to do the doubleheader. And so Arkansas wins 3-1. Kind of an ugly win. The way that it started was interesting because Hagan Smith kind of looked human for the first time since week one. And but I mean, he ended up, you know, figuring it out, really. Had a solid stat line. He's now sixth in program history in career strikeouts. I think up next is Blaine Knight. He passed Kevin Copps over the weekend, so that's pretty impressive for Hagan Smith. So yeah, I mean, like, look, four innings, scoreless, only gave up one hit, walked three, two of those were back to back in the top of the first, and he had nine strikeouts. So
yeah, the three walks are a bit concerning for sure, especially when they come in the first two innings and they get the pitch count up, right? But at the same time, we're still seeing him not really be hittable. He gave up the one hit in the fourth, and it didn't end up costing him. I mean, how many hits has he given up on the year now? Like, it can't be many. It's six hits in 17 innings. So
opponents are hitting 107 against him.
Wait, hold on. 17 innings? That doesn't sound right.
Is that
surely thrown more than that.
Let's see. He threw six back-to-back plus four last weekend plus one opening weekend. That sounds right. That's 17.
That is right. Somehow wow. It doesn't seem like enough. But anyway, yeah, six hits in 17 innings, that's not very many. So he's like, if he can just limit the walks, then he'll be in a really good spot. This game was interesting, and it's not just when Smith was pitching, but really the rest of the staff too. McNeese State only went down in order one time. Like, Hagan Smith got him strikeout, ground out, strikeout in the third inning. There was a lot of traffic on the base pass, and it's honestly amazing that the Cowboys only came away with one run in that game. It was a great job by the whole staff, McIntyre, Faraday, and Gackle, of just limiting damage, really. 12 runners left on base in that game, 26 on the weekend for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, I think that was you know, just another performance of the pitching staff for the most part carrying the lineup, because, you know, Arkansas had nine hits, only scored three runs. I feel like honestly, I'd have it was a long weekend. I'd have to go back and look, but I feel like that just this was another game where after the game, you kind of felt like the offense just still hadn't figured it out.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I remember it being a big storyline as it was happening. Each of the first six innings, the Hogs got a leadoff man aboard, and only half of those times did they scratch a run across. Leadoff walk erased by a double play in the first. Leadoff infield single for McLaughlin goes only to second base in the second. And then in the fifth, leadoff single goes nowhere, even after a Ross Lovich stolen base. That was interesting, by the way. We had Lovich leading off for the Hogs this weekend.
And he did solid.
Two different games. Yeah, he did do solid. You're right. If I can get the stats back up here. 2 for 7, drove in 5 runs, had the big home run in game, what, 2, 3?
I think it was in game 3.
Yes, it was game 3. You're right. Because he didn't play game 2.
Yeah.
It was sort of a lackluster effort at the plate, maybe, or at least the results weren't coming. Cameron Lejeune honestly looked pretty good for McNeese State. 3 runs, 5 innings. And then the guy who came in after him, JT Moeller, 3 shutout, 5 strikeouts. So he certainly did his job at the back end. He just couldn't get his bats going.
Yeah. Arkansas 4 of 13 with runners in scoring position, 7 left on base total.
I mean, 4 of 13, like, that's what, almost .333 average. Like, they got the hits when they needed to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, like you said, it wasn't necessarily pretty, but they don't ask how, right? They ask how many. They ended up on top. So
Exactly. So then let's go ahead and move on to game 2, since that's what they did right after game 1 on Saturday. 45 minutes after they played game 2, no uniform switch for the Razorbacks. So they were wearing the pinstripes on Saturday.
Hey, let's talk about those. I don't know if we've addressed the pinstripes yet.
Well, I guess because did we even talk about it on Friday's episode? Because they wore them on Tuesday.
I meant to bring them up. I forgot.
Okay, so, well, what do you want to say about them? Because
I'd like to sound off on the pinstripes. This is probably going to be an unpopular opinion. I'm not into the pins. I am a big proponent of pinstripes generally, and I will give them that they are better than Vanderbilt's pinstripes. But I don't really like how the nameplate is not pinstripes. Like, it's on over the pinstripes. If you look at them, you'll notice this. But, like, I think about the Chicago Cubs. Like, they've got the pinstripes down, I think. And I don't know, the nameplates are different. Maybe it's professional baseball. I don't know. I'm also not a big fan of the font. We have discussed that. The new font, the quote unquote Jeff Long font, if you want to put it that way. You know, I thought the uniform set last year was fine and didn't need to be touched. But anyway.
I'll give you the font. I'm looking here at a picture of the nameplate.
Like, I feel like it's weird that it's not also pinstripes.
I don't know. I think it looks fine. But the font definitely does ruin it completely. Like, these uniforms would be cool, but the font. You know what I mean? That's kind of where it's at. I think when I first saw them like release it, I think I tweeted something along the lines of, I like this, but I don't like the font. And it ruins the entirety of the uniform. I'm sorry, it does. If they went back to like the script font that they had on the old pinstripes, that'd be cool. Like what they have on the red jerseys.
Yes.
Yes.
Agree.
Anyways.
Okay. Glad we could get that out of the way.
Yeah. Okay. So game 2, Arkansas wins in run rule fashion, kind of really snuck up on you in run rule fashion. Like one of the most snuck up on you in run rule fashions there is.
Without a doubt. I mean, just judging by the way, like I didn't watch the second game live. I was working my day job, unfortunately. But Mason sends me or asked me for advice on a headline about homers from what, Jones and Aloy being the headline. And then surprise, you get 2 more in the 8th. It was 6-1 going in that inning. You're not looking for a run rule there, and you get one all of a sudden.
Well, you know, it was crazy because I kind of mentioned it in the open, but up until the Vahiba Aloy and Jason Jones home runs, like those were the highlight not only of the game but of the day offensively for Arkansas, and it was a big storyline because it was like, okay, Arkansas finally does something offensively, and that's why I made it my headline. Was like, okay, Jones and Aloy hit home runs, Arkansas finally gets the bats going or something like that, and like, of course, then they play five in the bottom of the eighth and walk them off, but.
But what a monster shot by Aloy, by the way. What was it, 468 feet to center?
468. You take us through what happens up until that point, and I'm going to get the exact measurements.
Okay, so big first inning in that they take the lead, I guess. Vahiva Aloy coming through with an RBI single with two outs. That was big. Peyton Stovall got a knock as well in that inning. Kendall Diggs, by the way, glad we can address this now. The stolen base ended up being big because he scored the run, but also avoided significant injury. I mean, I can't believe that he stayed in the game, frankly. What
Okay, what
did he?
happened?
Okay, so like he was sliding into second and like jammed his shoulder kind of. And I mean, he was down writhing on the ground. Like trainers came out. He was in obvious pain. I mean, did he or Dave comment on this? Because like I thought he was going to miss some time.
Let me go back and look, 'cause I don't, you know, that happened during a double header, so like, you know how
I'm
press
sure.
conferences go after a double header.
Right. And you don't get to talk in between games. And so there's so much to get to in what, 17 innings.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of scary looking. And I mean, it turned out okay, right? Like he stayed on the bases, scored a run, doubled, homered later that game. Walked twice, got two hits the next day. So like he certainly seemed fine.
Yeah, I can't find any quotes. I don't think he was even asked about it.
Okay, well, something to monitor perhaps. Anyway, yeah, so they get the run in the first. Brady Tiger goes four scoreless, strikes out eight, as mentioned earlier. And then they pad the lead in the fifth with a 4-run frame. Starts off with a Jason Jones solo shot and continues with the 3-run bomb, missile, nuke, whatever you want to say. I mean, 468 feet from Aloy is crazy. To center field, even. Like,
114 off the bat, 24.7 degree launch angle.
just ridiculous stuff. Will Edmondson getting on with a single, followed by a Stovall draw on a walk. And then, yet again, two out RBIs from Aloy. So that was four in the game for him.
Yeah, I was just a week early on Vahiba Aloy breaking out
Yeah.
because here he goes, and he's starting to swing it well, man. And he, you know, the stats won't show it, but he had a few flyouts this weekend too that, I mean, were loud to the
Yeah,
warning track.
he had at least two to the track, I'm pretty sure. And there was the one against UCA that I'm thinking of too.
Yeah,
But yeah, I mean
good week for him at the plate.
yeah, it was that single in the first, I'm pretty sure he hit it off the wall. Like it was a long single. He hit the cover off the ball. It
Yeah.
just didn't they didn't always leave the yard.
Yeah. So that was in the bottom of the fifth.
Yep. Trade runs in the sixth. With Parker Coyle getting charged for the 1 run. Coyle comes in, gives up a leadoff hit in the fifth, strikes out two, and then three hits to start the sixth, cutting it to 5-1. But then who was it that responded in the sixth? Leadoff walk from Peyton Holt starting things off. Ross Lovich ending up with the sac fly to reestablish the 4-run lead. And by the way, on the last episode, I mentioned how the sixth inning had not been the Slim Chickens winning inning, right? Well, they scored runs in all three sixth innings this weekend.
Yeah, I want to say it was either game two or game three. There was an elite Bobby Chicken chant, like it was a loud one. And if it was game three, then that's pretty notable.
Well, yeah, because they come out and score eight in that sixth, right?
Yeah, I gotta go back and watch now to see which game it was.
All right. But yeah, Cody Frank was And you know what? We didn't give enough love to Gabe Gackel for his effort in the first game. 2 2/3, one hit, 3 strikeouts to lock things down in a tight game. And then Cody Frank, honestly, well, it wasn't as tight, but another 2 2/3 effort. Didn't give up any hits, didn't give up any walks, struck out one. He got all 8 batters he faced. I should say that's noteworthy for sure. And it propelled the offense to a 5-run frame in the 8th to walk it off.
Yep. Cody Frank has been very solid this year, was solid on Saturday night. And so
it was a good bounce back outing, right? Because he sort of struggled against UCA on Tuesday.
Yeah. Did you talk about the bottom of the 8th there yet?
No. I mean, I mentioned at one point the Peyton Stovall home run, which went to review, right? Couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell off the bat if it was fair or not. And there was, I mean, what was a review going to do there? Like,
and it's like, come on now. We all know how the camera work is with the RSN crew.
Exactly.
I mean, no offense to anybody specifically, but look, you can't act like it's great. It's not. So, and the camera work on that home run was not, it's hard. It's hard with a home run like that, you know?
Yeah. So again, a case of fortunate for the Hogs that it was called the way it was on the field.
But I mean, he crushed it. It was 412, 101 off the bat, 29 degree launch angle. Like he crushed it.
No doubt. No doubt. And it was, you know, it's always nice to make your return to the lineup and hit a home run on the same day. Right. I mean, just in his first, what, 8 at-bats, he had 3 knocks, including a home run, 3-run shot. So, yeah, impressive. And then McNeese changes pitchers. Kendall Diggs goes deep off the next guy. That was a long shot too, right? 400 plus, 450 maybe?
449, 104 off the bat, 27-degree launch angle.
Again, to center field. I mean, I don't know if the wind was blowing out that day. I can't remember, but those are two ridiculous footage numbers on the Aloy and Diggs home runs to center field.
Yeah, man, Diggs, I mean, how many times has he walked a game off now? At least 3 or 4?
Well, and like most of them have been run rule walk-offs too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who can forget the actual walk-off over Ole Miss in 2022? But yeah, he's got a knack for ending games early.
You know, a funny thing about that home run from Diggs, though, was that they had Dylan Carter warming up. And so they, because they were going to bring Dylan Carter in, you know, they're up 10-1. And they jokingly told Diggs, like, you know, don't get a hit. And then they were like, we're kidding. But then he goes up and he hits a home run. And apparently, as soon as he hit it, he like turned to Matt Hobbs and said, I'm sorry.
Wow. That is a funny anecdote for sure. But it's a good thing that Carter got his chance the next day. It would have been tough if that were game 3 and he walked him off and he didn't get a shot at all.
Well, you know, Dave even said after game 2, though, that they got Carter hot and that he probably wouldn't pitch Sunday, but he would definitely be ready to go Tuesday. So it was actually kind of weird that he threw on Sunday after Dave said he wasn't going to. You know, it's how it goes, but...
Right.
Yeah, so I guess we can go ahead and move to Sunday now that we have talked about the end of Saturday. Shout out Brady Tigert, you know, in 4 innings, like Hagen, but solid.
Yeah, I mean, they can't go 6 innings every time. So
yeah,
the fact that he and Smith both didn't give up a run in their 4 innings, certainly encouraging. And the fact that in both cases the bullpen, you know, did its job, right? 5 innings, 1 run in the second half of the doubleheader, but a total of 9 innings in relief pitching, only gave up 2 runs. That's pretty solid.
And it's also worth noting that Hagen only threw 64 pitches, and he was on a pitch count because he didn't throw on Friday, and because the game got pushed back to Saturday due to weather, and he has to throw again this Friday, so you got to keep him on schedule. They couldn't throw him 90-something pitches. He was going to be on a 70 to 75 pitch count the whole time.
And I hate that I'm about to say this, but Friday's game just means a little more being SEC play.
Yeah, even though it's Missouri, even though it's
Yes, we'll get into the merits of that on the next episode for sure.
yeah, dude, what we should do on the next episode is we should just boycott the fact that Missouri is playing Arkansas and not even talk about
I
them.
was gonna say, I thought you were gonna say not release an episode. I was like, wow, that'd be quite the statement.
No, we need to release the episode because we got to make some money, but we can at least just not talk about Missouri. That would be a waste of time.
I think so.
Okay, let's move it along here on the Diamond Hogs podcast, which is brought to you by hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. As always, that is the Rivals website covering the Arkansas Razorbacks. Visit it today. Would really appreciate it. Even if you don't want to subscribe, a ton of free content. Check it out. We got all our video content, game stories, game recaps, press conferences, practice video, practice notebooks, everything you need. And we also have a lot of premium content from an Under Armour recruiting event down in Dallas that our recruiting guy Daniel Fair went to this weekend. So a lot of reasons to subscribe, but also if you don't want to, some great free content as well on hogbeat.com. And I also want to remind you about BetSaracen. BetSaracen is the mobile sports gambling app of the Saracen Casino Resort. And if you download it, you can get the double R props today. That's when I say the double R props, you're like, what the heck does that mean? It's just prop bets for Arkansas baseball. So if you want to bet on Jack Wagner to have over half a hit, over half an RBI, and maybe over half a walk or something like that, just an example, not exactly what you could get, that's potentially going to be on there, stuff like that. And so you can get on there, and you're probably not going to get that anywhere else. I don't know where you can get prop bets on Arkansas baseball, but probably not anywhere other than Bet Saracen. So download it. I was going to say hogbeat.com right there, but I said Bet Saracen. So download Bet Saracen today. Thank you to Bet Saracen.
No offense to Bet Saracen, but when is the Hogbeat sports book dropping?
Never, dude. I will never get into that. Okay, let's go to game three, which the Arkansas Razorbacks walked off the McNeese. No, they did not walk them off. They run ruled the McNeese State Cowboys 18-5 in a come behind victory for the Razorbacks. Come from behind. Come from behind.
We're talking about a 5-4 McNeese State lead in the middle of the fifth inning, and the game ends 18-5 and 7. 14 unanswered in just 2 innings is, well, the awakening that I'm sure a lot of Razorback fans were hoping for at the plate. Mason Molina looked good for a while, three shutout to start. And then gave up the one solo shot after he had a 4-run lead in the fourth. But then he sort of hit a wall in the fifth, right? Double, single, walk to finish the bottom of the order the second time around. All three dudes end up coming around to score against Gage Wood, and Wood gives up a run himself, and they find themselves down 5-4. It was maybe a little alarming, but the bats certainly turned it on. Again, haven't mentioned their bottom of the third yet, but they turn it on again and put any concern to rest for sure.
Yeah. The thing with Molina, he just was not locating, man. He was high, he was throwing it high a lot. Just wasn't a ton in the zone. And I don't think it's super concerning, but I will say, I mean, the weather was pretty perfect on Sunday.
Yeah, it looked a lot better than it did Saturday, that's for sure.
Where were you? Where did you end off? Were you in the bottom of the third?
Yeah, we should hit that. Hogs bat around at the bottom of the third, plate four. Big walk from Hudson White, single from Ty Wilmsmeyer to flip the lineup. And then all of this damage happens with two outs because the inning starts with a Souza strikeout. And then after those two runners reach, Ross Lovich flies out, and then Stovall single, Aloy single, Diggs walks, McLaughlin drives in two with a single. So the two out damage, I don't think I realized it as I was watching the games, but now that I'm reviewing the book, I mean it came in bunches for sure.
Yeah, how I think they scored I got to pull it up now because it was a pretty impressive number. I think it was 12 or 13 runs with two outs.
A lot of runs in the one game or on the weekend?
In that one game.
Oh, wow.
Oh, here's what it was. Arkansas had 13 two-out RBIs in Sunday's game.
And they had 16 RBIs in total.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, they certainly pounced on an error in the fifth. I'm pretty sure I have this marked correctly, but I don't think any of those six runs they scored in the fifth were earned. Yeah. So the error was on a batted ball by Jared Sprigelot. Third baseman just missed it, I guess. Like had the chance to record the fielder's choice put out at third, and maybe even turn two. Because you know the ball wasn't I don't know. I mean, it happened pretty much at third base and it didn't go anywhere. So it was big for the Hogs to capitalize on that. Seeing I knock for Ty Wilmsmeyer at the bottom of the order to drive in two, that was big. And then Ross Lovich coming up next and plating three more with that home run we mentioned earlier.
How about the Missouri guys? Back-to-back hits. Five runs on two hits right there.
Back-to-back multi-RBI hits, yeah. They're certainly making the case to crack the lineup against their former squad next week, yeah.
Yeah, man, Lovich has been such a surprise. And no offense to the guy at all, but I did not expect this from him. If you would have told me entering SEC play that, you know, Ross Lovich is as good of an option to play in left or center as anybody, I probably would have been like, okay, well, Jason Jones is hurt, Ty Wilmsmeyer is hurt, and now everybody's healthy, and there's just a ton of competition, and it's great. And shout out to Ross Lovich, man. He's playing well.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I don't think he falls among qualified hitters with only 24 at bats, but you know, it is notable that his 417 average is the best on the team.
Wow. I wonder how many at bats he's had in the past week, though, because he hit leadoff two games on the weekend. Did he start Tuesday? I don't remember.
He did lead off. He was 2-for-3 against UCA on Tuesday. So on the week, if I'm doing the math correctly, he was 4-for-10. So his average actually went down, despite going 4-for-10 this week. Drove in five on the weekend. Didn't drive in any on Tuesday, but he scored three runs out of the leadoff spot in three games this weekend.
Wow. Okay. So he doubled his runs scored on the season this weekend, and he more than doubled his RBI on the season this weekend. Because he entered with four and he had five this weekend. So
yeah, and his OPS is sitting at 1108, which is behind only Nolan Souza.
Wow. Yeah, man, and Nolan Souza, there's another one. You know, the competition at second base now that Peyton Stovall's healthy.
I mean, it's crazy. You look at Sprigelot, Holt, Stovall, and Souza. Those four dudes have to compete for two spots on the infield, and then you know maybe you DH one of them, but also consider that you've got four capable catchers, right?
And you also have two capable first basemen.
Exactly. Like we've mentioned many times before, what a great problem for Dave Van Horn to have.
And not even factored into this entire equation is Reese Robinette, who there's been a thread on our message board on hogfeet.com about, like, where's Reese Robinette at? He's probably going to redshirt, you know, not for medical reasons, just because there's so much competition and they don't want to just, you know, burn a year of eligibility just to play him a little bit. So,
yeah. It's kind of weird to hear it first after, you know, what he showed he was capable of last year. But at the same time, you know, think about it a little bit. It makes sense.
No, it definitely does, especially if everybody can be on the same page and he's not, you know, the type of guy that's like, you know, I'm not playing, so I'm going to transfer. And it seems, at least right now, like he's cool with sticking around and he likes to be at Arkansas. So.
Yeah, I mean, it you would think, I'm sure it's a lot easier said than done, but you would think that, you know, if you're on a number one team and know what it's capable of over the years, that you'd be interested in sticking around, especially if you have, you know, the promise or the guarantee of the coaches that eventually your chance will come, right?
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, dude, he could have a big year next year.
Without a doubt.
Big year. Anyways, we still got to finish this game three. So you talked about the six runs in the bottom of the fifth. Then there in the top of the sixth, Gage Wood goes 1-2-3, I believe.
He did not go 1-2-3, gave up a leadoff single, but then proceeded to go 1-2-3. Strikeout, ground out.
Okay. And then,
which was a nice bounce back because he was sort of struggling a little bit. So nice to see him get his last four guys. Got one in the seventh as well.
Yeah. And they batted around again in the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah. Again, this was a case of take what they give you, like we saw on Tuesday against UCA, right? After Aloy makes the first out, walk, single, walk, walk, hit by pitch, walk, change pitchers. I mean, what? Two of those free passes scored runs. You know, it was kind of ugly. But then, you know, they flip the lineup again and the bats start coming alive. Stovall gets an RBI knock. Aloy walks. Diggs drives in two. McLaughlin drives in another. I ventured onto Twitter for a minute and saw you tweeted the GIF. So,
somebody's really got to do it.
That's really what it was.
It was definitely the GIF of explain the GIF, Robert.
It's a Bugs Bunny cartoon from I don't know when, but I probably the best Looney Tunes cartoon there is because it's about baseball. You know, dude's just parading around the bases. That's all it is. Pitcher winds up, throws, knock. Pitcher winds up, throws, knock. They're just conga lining around the bases. It's great.
That is what happened there in the bottom of the sixth, dude. I mean, I felt bad for McNeese, honestly. And if you're Arkansas, you can't do anything but go up and just hit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you need your reps, and you know, we can't expect a team to take mercy on another one, right? That's what we got the run rule for. Of note, by the way, I was looking at this maybe before we started recording, but I mentioned on the last episode that A&M scored 31 runs on them. The Hogs scored 32 this weekend.
Who said the Hogs can't hit?
And they didn't get some trips to the plate, right? They didn't finish their trip to the plate in the eighth because they walked off, and then they didn't hit in the seventh or eighth on Sunday.
Yeah, so it really feels like this offense is starting to come along, like Dave Van Horn said. You know, he said multiple times ahead of this weekend, even I want to say, you know, after Saturday's games, that, you know, the offense is going to come along. It's just, it's going to happen at some point. I don't know, man. But then this is what happens with me is I say this, and as I'm saying it, then I start to think about, well, it was McNeese. McNeese didn't have great pitching. You know, they had guys hurt. How much do you factor that in, you know? I don't know.
Well, you can only hit against the teams you're scheduled to hit against, right? Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Take it with a grain of salt. This is a team that I believe is projected to finish in the middle of its league preseason. That's probably what we're going to end up seeing based on what we saw in Fayetteville. You know, it's take the sparks, right? You know, this is a better conversation to have than, you know, why did they only score 15 runs in three games against a team that's pretty lackluster? So, you know, Oral Roberts will be a step up in competition on Tuesday, right? Missouri, albeit one of the worst teams in the SEC, will be a step up in competition. And then, you know, there's really no time to mess around after that, right? You got Auburn the week after that, and number two LSU the week after that. So Auburn's 18 in this week's poll. I mean, it's about to get real pretty quickly.
Yeah, excuse me. You said that Missouri is one of the worst teams in the SEC. I just wanted to correct you and say they are the worst team in the SEC.
I'll go out on that limb, sure.
Okay. But yeah, I want to say though that the way this schedule for Arkansas works out is pretty darn good, because you look at where they're at now, number one in the country, 13-2. So like everything's really worked out, aside from a 14-inning loss to Oklahoma State that really could have gone anyway, and a loss to James Madison in a 4-game series. Now you have Oral Roberts on Tuesday. That's going to be a test for sure. A team that went to the College World Series last year. But like Missouri, still like you're facing an SEC team, but it's kind of more batting practice, like kind of ease your way into it.
I don't want to overstate the importance of this series, but like you have to sweep it. These are three chances to pick up early wins that you don't want to miss out on, because like I said, the next two opponents are going to be really tough. And by the way, Texas A&M still undefeated. That's the last series of the year. You know, I really think the SEC West is going to come down to that final weekend.
Yeah. Looks like they're going to have a lot of stuff this next weekend for the Missouri series at Baum Walker. Fireworks on Friday, SEC champs pennant poster on Friday, pregame flyover Saturday, baseball cards Saturday, St. Paddy's Day game Sunday, kids run the bases Sunday.
You think they'll whip out green hats for Saturday or Sunday? Excuse me.
Well,
maybe for warmups.
If you're going to do it against any team, if you're going to do anything against any team to where it's like, you know, we cannot be serious today.
You can get away with that against Missouri, especially if you win the first two games.
Yeah. No, it's not if you win the first two games, dude. I mean, come on here. Let's be real. Okay. Let's get to our weekend MVPs. We were talking about it before recording, and this is going to be a little bit tough to choose weekend MVPs, man. I'm going to go with Vahiva Aloy, though.
That's fair. My pick for a bold prediction to lead the squad in hits didn't quite come through, but he certainly delivered, as you're about to tell us.
Yep. 4 hits, scored 3 runs, drove in 6 runs, had the 468-foot homer. He did strike out 4 times, but also, as we mentioned, you know, the stats don't tell it all, because he was swinging the bat really well all weekend long.
Without a doubt. Yeah, definitely could have added at least some points to his slugging percentage and OPS with that long single off the wall on Sunday. Gosh, tough choice. How about Peyton Stovall? Welcome back to the lineup. 5-for-13, drove in 5, scored 4, walked once, had the home run. That's a pretty impressive return, making a statement in doing so. And as we mentioned earlier, good for him to get his reps in before things start to get real.
Yes, I do actually. I feel like we should go back to game 3 real quick. There were 2 things that I forgot to mention. Every single Arkansas batter scored 2 runs. That was
just
cool.
Just an amazing stat. I'm what, 22 years old. I may never see that again in a game I watch in my lifetime.
Yeah. So Lovich went 1-for-5. Sorry. It was Ben McLaughlin who went 4-for-5. Ben McLaughlin had 4 hits in the game, drove in 3 runs. All the guy does is hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I keep hearing Benny Barrels on the broadcast, which, you know, I don't know if broadcasters should be calling players by their nicknames all the time, but he's raking. I mean, he's earning the nickname, right? He's 20-for-55, leads the squad in hits, 364 on the year, OPS pushing 1,000. So yeah, he's connecting. And he's drawn his walks too. He's got 9 walks to 8 strikeouts on the year. He's certainly earning said nickname.
Okay, weekend MVP on the mound.
I think I'm gonna go with Gabe Gackel.
That's who I was gonna go with.
Sorry, I said it first. That means I get him. Yeah, I'll go with Gackel, because that Friday game was obvious, or not Friday, would be Friday game, would have been Friday game. The first game of the series, it was close, as we mentioned, right? 3-1. Really important 8 outs to get with the bats not really producing much. And McNeese was threatening over and over and over, right? He inherited the bases loaded in the seventh inning, right? The tying run was 180 feet away with one out. Strikes out one dude, gets a ground out against the next, and then only allowed one base runner in each of his next two innings. So I would say Gackle gets the nod for me, pitching in the most high stress situation and delivered.
I'm gonna go with Dylan Carter. Came back.
That's fair.
He came back, man. You know, he wasn't really supposed to pitch Sunday, kind of like we talked about. He said after the game that he texted Matt Hobbs that morning and said that he was ready to go. He said, here we go. I'm trying to pull up the quote here. He said, Hobbs told him just to let it rip and get his feet wet again. He uses the term rip the Band-Aid off. Now the Band-Aid is ripped off. It's time to get after it. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong here, but was his velocity up from last year?
Yeah, he was pumping in 94, dude. And DVA said he can get up to 95. Just another – I think we can call Dylan Carter elite if he's throwing 94, 95.
I mean, having experience at this point in his career and still raising his velocity year over year, coming back from Tommy John, you know, provided he's fully healthy, that this is he could be a force to be reckoned with out of the Arkansas pen for sure.
Yep, so that's my MVP on the mound. Okay. Anything else as we wrap up here, Robert? What else you got?
I mean, overall, really strong weekend. Like we said, it was tough to pick weekend MVPs at the plate. So many strong performances. You know, obviously small sample sizes, but a lot of dudes with OPS numbers starting with one. Really, really, I mean, just an impressive performance at the plate. Again, take it for what you will. It's not the best opponent in the world, but I think all you can do is be encouraged by what you saw this weekend.
A couple notes. Arkansas still leads the country in strikeouts after this weekend, 174. Wait, hold on.
I heard LSU was tied with the Hogs at one point.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if these stats are correct. The NCAA stats page is so annoying.
That is true.
LSU and Arkansas tied with 174, but it only has Arkansas with 12 games played. So
it must not be up to date as of 9:06 a.m. Central Time Monday morning.
Yeah, okay. Now I feel like an idiot for reading that. Did Tennessee tie a game? Because on the SEC baseball standings page, it has Tennessee as 15-1-1. But I'm on Tennessee's page, and it shows that they're 16-1. So I don't know what's going on there.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't have an answer for that one.
Okay. Anyways, so A&M still undefeated. Bama 15-1, LSU 14-2, Auburn 12-3, Mississippi State 12-4. I mean, every single team in the West has at least 12 wins.
That's impressive. You got in the D1 top five, four teams from the SEC. Oregon State being the only non-SEC team, joining them in the top 10, Florida and Vanderbilt. I mean, Alabama's in the top 15. Did you see that one coming after Brad Bohannon got fired? Like, this league, once again, loaded. The next 10 weeks are going to be a grind.
So can we say that that Arkansas now has the best win in college baseball this year? Can we say that?
I think it's hard to argue otherwise. I mean, obviously there's bias here, right? Because we haven't watched any of the other games that could be considered the win of the year. But yeah, as I mentioned, really quality win over number three team. And again, Hagen Smith struck out 17 dudes in that game, 17 Beavers on the number three team in the country. It just gets more impressive as more time passes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, like, the thing is like, if you go back to, like, even last year, just basically any weekend, if Hagen Smith goes four innings, gives up just one hit, no runs, and strikes out nine, he's 100% the weekend MVP, and we're looking at that stat line right now as, like, you know, Hagen had kind of an off weekend.
Right, right. Did we mention the stats that you and I talked about? I know you tweeted them, but 38 strikeouts against 58 batters faced in the last three starts.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man.
That's almost two thirds.
He's really, really good. Really, really good right now.
10 base runners allowed in three starts.
And you know what's crazy is that, like, you know, what he's doing, as incredible as it is, there's other guys on this pitching staff that are performing, you know, in their own right to a level like that. You know what I mean?
Without a doubt. I mean, Brady Tigert's ERA is under one right now.
Yeah. Hey, Colin Fisher, 1.59 ERA, 15 strikeouts, two walks. Will McIntyre has 20 strikeouts, two walks. Mason Molina has 33 strikeouts, eight walks.
33 strikeouts, good for second on the squad.
What's Cody Frank at? Cody Frank's got seven appearances on the year. He's got 12 strikeouts, one walk. You know, this entire pitching staff, and that's not even including the guys, you know, like your Cooper Dossetts, Jake Faraday, Gage Wood, Dylan Carter now, who really haven't fully gotten to their capability yet because they just haven't really had the opportunity yet.
Yeah. I mean, the big names keep eating up these innings, right? And it's encouraging for sure. And again, we mentioned it earlier, only four from all the starters this week. We got to see some increased longevity from some of the bullpen arms, and they certainly delivered.
All right, let's wrap it up here then, Robert. Arkansas, Oral Roberts on Tuesday.
First midweek night game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is the first midweek night game. 6 o'clock on SEC Network Plus, I believe. Or is this one of the national TV games? No, there's it's on the Plus. It's on the Plus.
I think the first national game is Thursday against Auburn.
Okay. Okay, it'll be fun. Arkansas, Oral Roberts. We will be recapping that on Friday and previewing the Arkansas-Missouri series to open SEC play on Friday. So make sure you listen to that. Tell your friends about the Diamond Hogs podcast. Don't forget that if you want to watch on YouTube, you need to go to hogbeat.com. And also don't forget that if you want to listen, just search Hogbeat Podcast Network. Do not type in Diamond Hogs podcast because it's going to pull up our old episodes. I'm sorry. I don't know why I made the change, but I did and I committed to it. And now I can't do anything about it. I can't go back. So we're stuck with it this way.
Yep. Hogbeat.com.
Hogbeat.com is where you
drill it into your head.
Yes. If you just go to Hogbeat, you're going to find everything because I put it all there. So Hogbeat.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Robert. And we'll talk to y'all on Friday.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.